You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder and host of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. With clients in over 20 Broadway shows and other stages across the globe, we are your online fitness platform to join together your pursuit in a journey in fitness with your career in theater. So, actors or athletes, train like one. Head on over to builtforthestage.com and we'll be on our way with a 7-day free trial on an interactive fitness app with yours truly, coaching you every step of the way, nutrition and fitness-wise. All right, BuiltForTheStage.com. Let's get on to our special guest. Special guest, as always. Got to meet our guest in London when I was there about a month ago. Took some photos with our guest. You can see those on the gram. Just posted one of us today. They're in this immersive show called The Burnt City. The promo videos for it just look wild. If you aren't in the London area and you're just curious as to what this show is all about, definitely check out their website because they did a really good job with just showing you how different it is. And I can't wait to talk to our guest about it. We've also seen our guest in the West End's productions of Tina Turner and Motown, and they have some exciting news. I'll let them say it. Some exciting news of a new show that they're going to be in the West End. Please welcome to Built for the Stage podcast, Cameron Bernard Jones. Hey, Cameron.
Hey, Joe. Hey.
Thanks for joining us, everyone that's listening. Cameron is such a good sport. It's 11:23 p.m. over there in London right now. So today, you made a post on your Instagram. I was just shuffling through it before we hit record here. Tell us the big news. Congratulations. I'm super hyped for you.
Thanks, man. So today was the official press release for Ain't Too Proud, The Life and Times of the Temptations, which is making its West End transfer. If you don't know, it was on Broadway a few years back. It's currently in the U.S. National Tour, and now it's coming over to London starting at the end of March in 2023. So I'm so excited. I'm going to be playing one of the classic five Temptations, Melvin Franklin, who was the bass of the group, bass and founding member of the Temptations. So I am over the moon about this because I saw it in October 2019 on Broadway. And I know the guy who played it on Broadway, the original Melvin Franklin, Juwan Jackson. And I saw Juwan after the show at Stage Door. And I said, you know, if ever this show comes to London, I'm doing my darndest to make sure that I'm Melvin Franklin. And so fast forward and here we are.
Look at you just speaking that into existence, right? Just spoke it right into existence. Amazing. Nick Walker is Built for the Stage fam, and we got to see him quite a few times. Like I was saying before the recording in, Ain't Too Proud. He's now went on and is in Hamilton again since the show closed, but super excited that it's going to be seen in the West End because the show's phenomenal and everyone over there in London deserves to see it. Let's stay there for a second and then we'll move on. So the audition process, was it short? Was it long? Was it?
So the audition process for me was short. I had five rounds altogether, which I feel like is unheard of. That's so short compared to how a lot of, you know, the big commercial shows are here in the West End. Definitely short, but jam-packed with intensity and just with a lot of heart. The whole team, the creative team, were amazing throughout the whole process because, you know, it could be really rigorous and challenging and cutthroat because this was a highly anticipated show. So many guys were looking forward to this coming. And when the casting announcement came out, it was like, it's like a cattle call. So it's like, there were so many guys who I either worked with in the past or just knew from the industry. We were all in the same room together. But with that, it was so much joy. So the process overall was joyful. It was challenging. It was, I made a lot of discoveries about myself and I really enjoyed it. I had to say it's probably one of the most rewarding audition processes I've ever had in my entire career.
Okay, discoveries about yourself, any that you're willing to share?
Yeah, so I mean, if you've seen the show, you know how physically intense the show is, right? These guys barely ever leave stage. Couple that with, of course, with singing and, of course, acting, you know, standard musical theater, but the intensity, you know, with Sergio Trujillo's choreography, Sergio Trujillo's Tony Award winning choreography, to be more specific. It's a lot. And so when he came into our first dance call and we went straight to work, and it was a lot, but the beauty of that experience, and yeah, I can say this now, is that he said to us guys, he said, you know, this is, treat this as a work session. And immediately I could feel the tension go away. And he was like, yeah, I don't want you to think of it as an audition, because we all know that comes with different connotations, right? So he really hit us psychologically. And all of a sudden you could just see people having fun, even though it was like, okay, I want this job, I gotta focus. But the element of fun was also brought into it, and the element of brotherhood. And so the discovery I made that day was that I can also have the heart in situations like this. It isn't all about you know, just I gotta get the moves, I gotta get it now, I gotta get it right. It's about the whole experience. And just the way we all lifted each other up in the room that day, it was amazing. Another self-discovery I made, a physical one, is that I can do this. It's like I have enough tenacity, I have enough endurance. You know, I've been blessed enough to be working since what feels like forever. And so, you know, it's not my first rodeo. But as I get older, sometimes physically I'm like, oof. Things ain't stretching like they used to. Fast twitch muscles don't seem to be fast twitching enough. So this experience, especially with his choreography, taught me, yes, you still got it.
With your consistency throughout your career, besides your talent, what is it with the consistency of your career that you would contribute that success to? Maybe daily practices, maybe, you know, every day, no matter what, I'm doing 20 minutes of da 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 da. You know, like, is there any pillars in your career that have kept you consistent?
Yes, you know what? I'm a very malleable person, so there's never just one thing that I've done consistently for the past 12 years of me being professional. Mm-hmm. However, there are a collection of things. And depending on what season I'm in as a human being, something will be prioritized over another. So let's take a physical. I love spinning, ride classes. Things like that are really a staple in my life. You know, it helps with cardio, and that's where I have fun and fitness. And I know it helps with singing and dancing on stage at the same time. I love reading because it's all about storytelling. We have to be storytellers as well. I'm funny enough, I'm a slow reader, but I love books. Seeing shows whenever I can, just to get inspiration and see how people treat pieces, roles, experiences, stories. Getting into a dance class when I can. The thing about being in a show is that it's hard to do that. But whenever I can, it's like, okay, I'm gonna take this commercial dance class. I'm not a commercial dancer. That's right now in my career I'm not focused on. I want to be a commercial dancer, but I may take that. It improves on my kind of showmanship, if you will, on stage presence, or like a jazz class, or even an African class. So for me, it's about the versatility. The versatility is a pillar for me. That's one of the constant things of my entire professional career, being versatile, being flexible, yes, physically, but flexible, you know, as a being, and open to newness. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like you said with reading stories, you're a storyteller. So the more stories you encounter, or in this case, the more experiences you encounter, the more you have to draw from when you're asked to be different characters in different situations and different shows.
Yeah.
Speaking of different shows, The Burnt City, talk to me about it. Tell us.
Yes. So The Burnt City is Punch Drunk's newest show. So if you're not familiar with Punch Drunk is, I guess I'd say, probably the most renowned immersive theater company in the world. They currently have two other shows going on. Sleep No More, which is a very popular show. It's been in existence for 10 plus years. Currently in New York City and in Shanghai. We have two Sleep No More shows. And then The Burnt City is its newest show, just in London so far. It speaks of Greek mythology, centered around the fall of Troy and all the stories around that. Gods, mortals. It's so hard to explain with words, because it's so much better when you just experience it for yourself, and no one ever has the same experience more than once. But they've transformed two huge warehouses in the Woolwich neighborhood of London, so like Southeast London, and they transformed it into two different worlds, one being Mycenae and the other being Troy. And you really get thrown into the mythology of it all. So if you're a big history buff too, it's great for those people too.
It's like a walkthrough show, right? You're not seated, right? You're walking from maybe room to room, or how's that work?
Correct. Yeah. Typically it's treated as you're on promenade. So you're walking through, you're following characters. Some people go to the show just to explore rooms, find the hidden details or little gems here and there. But yes, you are moving. You're not sat down in an audience seat.
Yeah.
Looking at a stage for 2.5 hours, you are in the world with us performers for 3 hours. No interval, no intermission.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Speaking of stamina. So what,
right.
how much longer will you be with the show until you move on to your next project?
So I have about 7 more weeks. My final show with The Burnt City will be the 8th of January.
Okay.
Yeah.
Coming right around the river bend, almost there.
No, it's crazy.
Sad to leave. You've had a fun time. What's like some fun moments that you enjoy about doing the show?
Every day is different. That for me makes it so interesting all the time.
Yeah.
Because audience members, everybody reacts so differently from our super fans who have seen it, I'm not exaggerating, like 40 plus times. And at this rate, we're 10 months in, so hundreds of times people have seen it. To our very new audience members who have never been to an immersive theater show, who are kind of like, what is happening right now? But they're still there. And so it's interesting being in character, but also observing on the periphery just how people's body language is and how they're receiving you in a scene and how they're moving about the space. It adds to the atmosphere. It really helps color the space as well, which never makes for a boring show, because again, we actors also have to navigate the moving audience. So yeah. Sometimes an audience can be in the way and it's about how do you gently move them out the way, or if it's something that might cause them danger, how do you urgently move them out the way? And so you're always on. You have to be on.
Very cool. Let's rewind to how you even end up in London. I saw that you went to Northwestern. Are you originally from Chicago, or where are you originally from in the States?
I'm originally from New York City, like actually New York City, one of the five boroughs. I was born in Queens, half grew up in Queens, and then I moved to New Jersey, so just across the river. So same metro area. But I, you know, I claim both states as my home, hometown, if you will. Yeah. So I went to college in Chicago at Northwestern, and I studied voice and opera performance, actually. So I'm classically trained. And while I was at Northwestern, getting my classical training theory wise, I got my performance training, in musical theater as well. Which funny enough was in a different college in those days. You know, universities can be split up into different colleges. So my music school was separate than the dance and theater school. I think they're amalgamated now. Anyway, that to say, I got the best of both worlds. Again, which plays to that versatility that is at the core of my being, really. And so after 4 years, I moved back to New York City, and I was really dabbling in both worlds, trying to see what bit first, the opera world or the MT world. And neither were really knew what to do with me. You know, I have a very deep voice, but in a lot of people's head, especially casting back then, deep voiced men were typically big in stature, older. And here I am, this 22-year-old with a baby face and this deep voice. So casting wise, a lot of companies and shows were like, we don't know what to do with you. So I had to deal with that challenge for a couple years. So, you know, as you do in New York City, you hustle, you work, you do other jobs, and you try to get other artistic jobs as you can, and you network and all that stuff. Sorry, it's a very long story of how I got here. So let me try to figure out.
Cameron, this is what we're here for.
Okay.
I'm captivated. I'm ready for it. I'm here with you. New York City native, goes to Northwestern. Okay. Opera, musical theater background, comes out, and he's got a deep voice, not your typical looking deep voice singer, and goes through the trials of not knowing what to do with you. And you just, now we're, okay, we're ready. Pick it up from there. I'm with you. Still, see, every single step, I'm with you. I'm loving it.
Yeah. Still in New York. I'm just trying to figure out, trying to make a career. And I got into choral singing. So a lot of churches in New York City may hire professional singers to be a part of choirs or to form their choirs. And so that's how I made some of my money. And again, just through networking, I networked with a lot of kind of the Black opera network, really in the country, because although there are a lot of Black opera singers compared to mostly white opera singers, it's not a lot of us. So that led me to meeting two guys who started and owned this company called Opera Noir, New York. And the Royal Danish Opera employed Opera Noir to help cast Porgy and Bess at the Royal Danish Opera in Copenhagen, Denmark. And so I auditioned for that in 2013, and I booked the job, and also was chosen to be dance captain of that opera. Really movement captain, but you know, same thing. And so that was my first big break, I always like to say. So at the beginning of 2014 in January, I was off to Copenhagen with the rest of the cast, who were really from all over the world. So a huge chunk from the States, a huge chunk from the UK. There were some from Canada, Caribbean, and Germany. So all over. And so I was in Copenhagen doing Porgy and Bess for 5 months, and it changed my life. I got my first taste of performing professionally in Europe, and realizing how receptive to just Black artists in general, a lot of these European companies and European houses are and still. And so I remember thinking, ooh, this could be something. And so I remember auditioning for cabaret at the Royal Danish Opera as well, towards the tail end of Porgy and Bess. I got to to finals, but I didn't get cast, which was okay. But I was like, I'm auditioning for a show in a different country. Like, mind blown. Anyway, in my cast of Porgy and Bess, there was a singer who I'd known. He's American, but he's been living in Berlin for eons. And he asked me, he's like, what are you doing after the show? I said, oh, nothing. I'm going back to New York and, back to the grind. He's like, well, a friend of his was doing Showboat in Austria, Showboat the musical, and they were going to extend, but the guy couldn't do the extension, basically. And the guy is also a bass. And so my friend and colleague asked me, can you sing down to a low C? And I said, yes. And he's like, and you're available. I said, yes. Okay. So he put his colleague in touch, and his colleague told the theater that, hey, I might have somebody who could do my part. And Joe, I didn't even have to audition. They contacted me. They being the Landestheater Linz, Austria, and said we would love to cast you in the ensemble for Showboat. I thought, OMG. I've never not had to audition for something to get a job. And all of a sudden, I'm getting this job off of reference. And I spoke to my friend and colleague who came to me, and I was just like, I this seems unheard of. He was like, well, honestly, you're a good colleague. You're very talented and very promising. And so that was one of the biggest lessons I learned in my life of having good work ethic and being professional and a good person can actually get you far. And that's kind of what, what's the phrase? It's about who you know or whatever, that kind of phrase. That was my, oh, it's who you know, but also, who sees me, who knows me as well. So,
Who you know and how they know you to be. How
yes, that's what I meant to say.
and well. I don't know if that's a saying, but like what I'm gathering from your story is like it wasn't just because you knew your colleague. You had to do something, which is being a good person on top of being talented, that kind of like pushed over the edge where, yes, you did just get this job because, hey, this person is talented, but I, as your colleague, am attesting that he's an upstanding human being, like he's a good person. Wow, very cool story. Okay, so you go to Austria.
So I go to Austria. I want to say what it was, maybe it was a few months between shows. So I went back home, but then I was preparing to go back to Europe. So the extension was just 3 months. So I was in Austria from November 2014 to February 2015. And that was great. It was another great experience. Austria for the first time and performing in a what's a state-run theater. Fully funded by the government. And so they throw everything at theater in Austria, and we're treated really well and amazing theater. And so a colleague from that show basically asked me the same thing. What are you doing after Showboat? And I said, going back home to New York. And so she was going into Hairspray, also in Austria, but outside of Vienna. And she was like, they're looking for more male ensemble. And she's like, are you available? I was like, yeah, I have nothing to do. And it happened again. I lied to you not, it happened again. Did not step foot in a room. Did not even have, well, there wasn't Zoom back then, but there was no video interview, nothing. They hadn't even seen me live or, move, nothing. It was strictly off of referral. So then I end up, it was summer 2015 in the ensemble of a Hairspray. Oh, by the way, this was all in German. It was fully translated.
with your experience in opera, did that help you with like having studied, you know, different languages while singing?
Yes, actually it did. So funny enough, because I studied opera, it was mandated, you know, we had to take foreign language classes. So they say, well, first you have to take maybe at least 2 years of French, Italian, or German, one of the three major languages of opera outside of English. And so I remember when it came time to registering for classes, I wanted to do Italian, but I registered too late. So the Italian classes were awful. I was like, dang, okay. And at that time I was like, well, French is too hard. So I was like, let's do German. I ended up loving German. I studied German for 3 years in college. And my final year, I studied Italian. So I got to the Italian in the end. And now, sidebar, I'm obsessed with French on Duolingo. Anyway, that's beside the point. So that mistake prepped me for the future, and I had no idea. So I was able to do a show in German. I mean, Showboat, which was also in Austria, the script was translated into German, but the songs remained in English. So by the time I got to Hairspray to do a whole show in German, I was like, oh, this is easy. Although it's really challenging. You can't stop the beat. We all know how fast that song is. Right, and in German, right, with so many syllables, it's a lot. Don't ask me. It's gone from my brain. I don't remember any of it, but I remember how fast it is trying to fit so many syllables in the same music.
I'll have to YouTube that later so I can take a listen to what that sounds like in German for sure.
Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Okay, so you're in Austria still. Do you ever go back to New York, or do you then go to London? How do you end up in London?
So I'll have to back up. Now that you know the professional end of it,
okay.
Now I'll share some of the social end of it. So back at Porgy and Bess in Copenhagen, there was a whole British constituency. And so that's where I met, a lot of my colleagues who I know today who are still here and working in the biz. And so how do I share this without sharing all my personal business? Let's see. Because y'all don't need to know every single thing. But I will share that I made a lot of British connections. And I made a lot of friends. And so while I was doing Showboat, I was often here. So you know what I mean? Like when the theater's in rep, right? So that theater in Linz, Austria, was in rep. And so we were performing, like, let's say we had a performance on Tuesday, the next wouldn't be until Friday. And then till Tuesday the next week. And, you know, so it was very spaced out. And so I was like, well, while I have the time, I'm traveling. And I traveled all over Europe, but I often came back to London. And during one of my many short stints in London, I met my now husband. And it was so random. It's like, again, as I was saying to the people who was asking, oh, what are you doing next? I'm like, I'm going back home to New York. Because what else am I going to do? I can't just up and move to a foreign country just like that.
Right.
And so, yeah, we began dating, and then love was like, hey, I'm here.
Right.
And I was like, why? What are you doing here? I'm only here for work. And I mean, long story short, we fell in love. And when it came time to, well, then, before Hairspray even came about, I was going to go back home again. And we were trying to figure out, well, how to, you know, we don't want to part from each other. We want to remain in each other's lives somehow. And so we became engaged, and then we got married in 2015. And that was after Hairspray. So we got married in September 2015. And there were no more referrals for the German for German shows. And I was like, I was fine with that. I was like, well, I guess I moved to the UK.
Yeah.
I moved to the UK. Mm. I moved to the UK. And I mean, it was one of the hardest decisions and easiest decisions at the same time. I'd always wanted to be here, didn't know how I would make it here, didn't know what I would do. Because when I graduated college in 2010, and I immediately moved back to New York thinking I had some sort of hometown advantage just because I was born in New York City. Mm. And I was completely like humbled by the fact that no one knew who I was. And I was in a sea full of people trying to be on Broadway or what, or just trying to make it, you know? I thought, well, surely I can't survive even trying to get onto West End stages, because in my head, you know, it's the same caliber. It may be smaller in terms of, you know, audience or whatever, you know, but they're synonymous in my head. They really are.
Yeah.
And so I thought, I have work under my belt now. I'm not a nobody, but I'm like, I'm going to the UK where, again, nobody, I don't have a professional network besides the friends I made doing a show. So that was the scary part. But I said, you know what? I'm just going to do it, because you know that saying, if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. And it's you know, I had my New York hustle, which I feel like I was born with. And I'm like, I had the experience of being able to be in different places. And I know what it feels like to not have, you know, what people would consider a foundation. And, you know, I was a nomad for what felt like forever. So I was like, let me just give it a go. And I remember my husband got me this book. It was an actor's handbook. It's really thick, and it has everything from lists of agents and casting agents and everything, photographers. And I remember going to the agent section, starting at A, and with my computer at the side, going through almost every agent, Googling, looking at their client lists, seeing if I would be unique. Yes, put it on the list, submit stuff. And I probably submitted to about around 30. Mm. Three agents got back to me.
Okay, so 33 agents got back to you. Out of the from the 30, though, how many do you think you filtered through to get to 30?
Oh, God.
Because I want to highlight this, because like so many people just see people's stories and they're like, oh, Cameron, lucky or fortunate. No, Cameron sat his ass down at that computer. And first off, you were willing to jump. You're willing to put yourself out there. And then second, you were willing to put in the work. You put in the work.
I will continue to say that until I am no longer. put in the work, the hours,
yeah,
the sweat, everything. Put it, because like that's where you can really reap the success. And the success just becomes that much more special when you're able to look back and go, wow, I sifted through, let's just say it was around 100, if I'm thinking A to Z, with the amount of agencies that exist in this country.
Yeah.
Let's just say between 100 and 200, it was so long ago.
It was enough. Let's just say that.
It was a lot. and I thought to myself, because I wasn't represented in the States. So I thought to myself, I'm not gonna get an agent. It was true imposter syndrome. I was like, they don't know who I am. I don't have any British credits under my belt. I don't have any American credits under my belt. I didn't have any videos. And you know, I didn't have a reel. I couldn't get video from the shows I just did. There weren't any.
Right.
Social media wasn't the same in 2014, 2015 as it is right now. So anyway, so yeah, around 30, submit, three got back to me and all three wanted to represent me. So I was like, oh, okay, plot twist. And I chose my agent. I'm no longer represented by that agent, but I had a great 5 years with that agent, and we got our feet on the ground. And my very first job was a fringe show in the Walthamstow section of London, so that's east-ish, at a pub theater. Doing this musical called Out of This World, where I played Jupiter. It was fringe theater at its best. I mean, it, you know, no frills, humble, but very fun, very fun. So I did that in April of 2016. And then soon after that, I joined this a cappella group called The Magnets, which is they're pretty famous in the UK. I think out of all British a cappella groups, they're like one of the oldest. It's a very respected group, and I was based in that group, obviously. And so we traveled around, we did cruise gigs, and that was fun. And while I was with The Magnets, I was auditioning for like 6 shows at the same time, West End shows. So this is when Hamilton original cast was auditioning, Motown was auditioning, Dreamgirls was auditioning, Book of Mormon, which always auditions, Lion King was always auditions. The sixth one was the precursor to Get Up Stand Up, which was called One Love, which started in Birmingham before the name change and the story, you know, the rejigging of the musical, which then became Get Up Stand Up. That was one of the most intense audition processes of my life. Just the sheer amount of shows to have in your brain at the same time and the same period. No. Because all of a sudden I went from nothing to the possibility of everything. And so through cuts, I was the only finals I made it to were Motown and Book of Mormon. And by then I was like, thank you. Because although I love Hamilton as a show, I think it's one of the greatest shows in probably all of humankind and time. I'm not a rapper. And the sheer anxiety of memorizing so much of that text, I was like, that was probably one of the most stressful audition processes of my life. Love the show though. But I was like, yeah, thank you. Thank you. You know, it's like, yeah, thank you. Yeah, you know, you were great, but that's, I said, absolutely. Thank you. I'll be out.
I'll see myself to the door.
I will see myself to the door gladly, smiling. So yeah, anyway, I got to the finals of Book of Mormon and to the finals of Motown. Book of Mormon said no, and I said, great. It was tough, because then all of a sudden it was like I went from six to just one. And then I found that I booked Motown. And I remember we were doing a guest entertainment gig for about a week on Royal Caribbean cruise. We were somewhere in the Mediterranean. And if you've ever been on a cruise, you know, the Wi-Fi sucks or it's really expensive. And somehow, maybe we were close to a shore or something, but I got an email from my then agent saying, please call me when you can, if you get this. So I was like, oh, okay. We had just finished doing a show in the auditorium of the cruise ship. So I was in my bedroom and I bought the Wi-Fi. I was like, I'm buying it. I don't care.
Right.
And I managed to call my agent. This was after work hours. Maybe it was around 7 o'clock in the UK. And he told me I booked Motown, that I booked my first West End show. And I remember crying and I was full of joy and I was like, oh my goodness, I just didn't see that coming. And that's where this all started.
That's where it all started. Started with being a little late on applying for Italian and getting the German class instead, which led to some of your Austrian gigs, which led to Love, which led to seeking out an agent, which led to your Motown, your West End debut. Amazing. Amazing. Wow, what a story.
I know. Well, sorry, it's so long, but
what's my story going to be to get me to end up permanently over there in London? What's that story going to be?
You know what? I just say it's just about being open. Whatever that means to you.
Definitely. In anything. Yeah. Career, life, all of it, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Cameron, let's wrap up with the BFTS hot seat, a fun little thing we like to do here with our guests. Are you ready?
Okay.
We're gonna tune.
I don't know what this is, but yeah, I'm ready.
Music on here. All right. You walk into a room and there's a movie playing. And you've seen this movie tons of times, but no matter how many times the movie plays on TV, you have to stop and watch it. What is this movie?
Coming to America.
Yes. Okay. Amazing. You need to pick me up and you're commuting to the theater or errands, wherever. What is that one song that is going to lift up your spirits and just like get you feeling good?
Ooh, Golden by Jill Scott.
Okay, there we go. Golden, Jill Scott. You are reincarnated on this planet as an animal. Which animal are you going to be and why?
Elephant. I want a good memory.
Oh, I have the worst. It gets me in trouble all the time. You weren't listening to me. I promise you. I just have an awful memory. Okay, you have a time machine and you can transport yourself to any place and any time. Where are you going to go and what time period will it be and why?
Oh, these are hard.
Yeah.
The 1920s, Harlem Renaissance.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. Okay, last one. You're not a performer, singer, you're not on stage, you're not doing the arts. What are you doing? What's life going to be?
I'm a writer, writing novels.
Okay, there we go. There you have it. You're off of the BFTS hot seat. You did really good. That was amazing.
That was okay. Thank you.
That was fun, right? That was fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Cameron Bernard Jones, thanks so much for joining us on Built for the Stage podcast.
Thank you for having me. Thank
Everyone,
you so much.
Make sure to give Cameron a follow on the gram, CBJ Arts, and you can check out more on Cameron in the description of this episode. Be on the lookout. If you aren't able to see the Burnt City, be on the lookout for Cameron in Ain't Too Proud coming up right around the corner. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
All right, see you later. There you have it. Cameron Bernard Jones, everyone. Awesome episode. Awesome story. Be open. Be willing to put the work in. Be a good person. These were all major key points that stood out to me in the episode. So hopefully you enjoyed that one with Cameron. Make sure to give him a follow on the gram, CBJ Arts. I'm Joe Roscoe with Built for the Stage. Actors or athletes, train like one. Later.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.